Amen. If you have the Word of God with you this evening, if you'll be turning to the book of John, chapter 14, book of John, chapter 14, and also I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. John, chapter 14, and 1 John, chapter 5. We're going to begin, Lord willing, a series of messages this evening. I've entitled the series, The Commands of Christ. The Lord certainly has given us His Word. And He gives in that Word various things for us to follow after. And we must understand that a command is not an option. We have in the Old Testament 10 commandments. They're not 10 suggestions. They're not 10 options. They're 10 commandments. And I think it's important we understand the commands of our Savior. And this evening, we're going to kind of lay a foundation for this series. We'll begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 14. Now, let me set or give you the setting as to what's about to transpire. The Lord is spending just a few final hours with His disciples. He's preparing them for His departure, His death and His departure. And these words are certainly words that brings comfort to our hearts. Brought comfort to those disciples when these words were uttered. But in these words of comfort, we also find words of command. And we're going to look at this evening. We'll begin reading in verse 1. The Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, "Show us the Father"? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for this very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, that and he shall give you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These sayings have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We find here in verse number 15 and verse number 23 and verse number 21, a reference made to the commandments of the Lord. The Bible said in verse number 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 21, he that hath my commandments keepeth them. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. As interesting as we read this chapter, and we'll move in just a moment to 1 John chapter 5. But it's interesting, this is a chapter that's full of certainties, and yet it's filled with a number of ifs. As a matter of fact, as I study this chapter, I find at least seven ifs in this chapter. In verse 2, we read, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. In verse number 3, and if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again. In verse 7, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. In verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And then in our text that we're going to look at in more detail in just a moment, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. In verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And then this chapter closes out, or nearly closes out in verse 28, and the Bible says, if you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now it's this verse 15, this if we find in verse 15 that we're going to consider this evening. And may I say, this if found in verse 15 is of the most of utmost importance and utmost seriousness. Turn, if you would, over to the book of 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And for the sake of time, we'll just read this one verse found in verse 3. The Bible says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. In other words, His commandments are not burdensome. They're not a difficult thing to handle. They're not difficult, or should not be difficult for us to do in the life of a Christian. I want us to consider some things this evening. I've entitled the message, Keep My Commandments. Keep My Commandments. I want to give you just three things from this. And again, we're going to try to lay a foundation as we consider the Lord's commands, Christ's commands. First of all, I want you to notice here a principle. The Bible said in verse 15 of John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. In John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now it's interesting, and I don't even remotely claim to be an authority on the English language, but I do know this. It's interesting where emphasis are placed. You know, as we read this verse, where we place the emphasis certainly affects its importance. For instance, we have there if, the word if. If we read that verse, if we love him, if you love me, keep my commandments. Certainly that word if is a conditional word. If you love me, keep my commandments. If we were to place the emphasis upon the word ye, if ye love me, again, remember who it is the Lord was speaking to. He was speaking to his followers, his disciples. If ye love me, he was speaking to Christian people. We're to love the Lord. As Christians, we're to love the Lord supremely. I said this morning, he's to have the preeminence in everything that we do. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If we were to place the emphasis upon the word love, if ye love me, keep my commandments. By the way, that word love is the Lord's desire. That's His desire. He desires for His people, His children, to love Him. That's His desire. If we were to place the emphasis upon the word me and my, again, read it with me. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Certainly that places the emphasis upon the Lord, the spotlight upon the Lord. And then we have the word commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And certainly that's the Lord's word. Those are His commandments, not ours. You know, sometimes I know people get a little uneasy about certain things. You know, when you begin to talk about standards, people get uneasy. They just get real uneasy. And I try to be kind when I have to deal with some of that stuff. But we shouldn't shy away from it if it's God's Word. Now, if it's not God's Word and it's something that man has created and come up with, that may be up for discussion. But the commands of Christ are not optional. They're commands. You say, well, I don't like it. It's not up for your decision. When the Lord says do something, you do it. And we find here this principle. I want you to notice, secondly, here a priority. Turn, if you would, over to the book of Luke. I think this passage will bring to light more this priority. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse number 25. The Bible said, and there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In verse number 33 in Luke 14. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When I first read that verse, I was troubled. When I read that verse, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I thought to myself, how in the world can I hate my dad? I mean, he works hard, and he expected a lot of my brother, and he nearly beat us half to death at times. He killed a willow tree on me and my brother. And, when he'd give us a switching with a switch, you know, I'd say, man, I hate my dad. But then I'd see him coming home from work after a long day, and then come out and mow the grass and work in the garden. And I thought, how in the world can I hate my dad? And I thought about hating my mom. And I remember one time my mom, she got so mad at my brother and I. She said, I want you boys to go pick your own switch. I thought, well, I got this figured out. I'll get a little one. I'll go get a weed. Oh, that didn't work. She used the little weed and then she went and got a bigger switch. My brother and I shared a room. We had bunk beds. I slept on the top bunk. He slept on the bottom bunk. We had a ladder to climb to get in the top bunk. She said, climb that ladder. Well, you can't protect yourself when you're holding on. She wore us out. I thought, man, I can hate my mom for doing that. But then she made dinner. I thought, how in the world can I hate my mom? She fixes food for us. Now I thought about my brother. He's easy to hate. We fight like cats and dogs. I'll just hate my brother. I'll hate him enough for my mom and dad. I thought, I'll just hate him. But then I didn't have anybody to play with. I mean, he and I, we hiked the woods. And we loved it when it rained because it washed somebody's toys down to our house. We lived right beside a creek. We liked it when it rained real hard because it washed somebody else's toys down to us. And when we got bored with them, we'd throw them back on the creek bank and let them wash them down to somebody else. I thought, well, I can't hate my brother. He's the only one I got anything to do with. And I thought about hating my sister. I said, now I can hate her enough for the rest of the family. I mean, she's telling on me all the time, getting me in trouble for things I didn't do. I can hate her enough for the entire family. And I did for a long time. I hated her enough for the entire family. I remember one time she hit me in the head with a baton and then went and told my dad that I'd done something to her, and I'm sitting there bleeding. And I got in trouble. I thought, if I can hate her enough for the entire family. I mean, she's the youngest in the family. She gets by with everything. She does no wrong. I can hate her enough for the entire family. But then I learned this wasn't what the Lord was talking about. This was really comparative language. What the Lord was saying, your love for me ought to make your love for others look like hate. You ought to love me so much that the love you have for your mom and for your dad and for your children and for your wife and for your brothers and sisters, you ought to love me so much that the love you have for them in comparison looks like hate. That's the priority. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is our love for the Lord, when compared and looked at the love we have for our mom and our dad and our brothers and sisters and wife and children, does our love for the Lord in comparison look like hate to those that we love the greatest? Oh, the Lord's not telling you to hate your mom and dad and brother and sister and wife and children. No, as a matter of fact, he talks about that in other places in the Bible. We're to love those folks. But in comparison to our love for them, our love for the Lord, it's to make that look like hate. Do we love the Lord to that degree? That's the priority. Let me give you a third thing that I see here, not only a principle and a priority, but I want you to notice thirdly here a problem. A problem. You say, well, why don't people keep the Word of God? I got an idea, a few ideas as to why some people don't keep the Word of God. I got an idea why some people don't keep the commands of Christ. You say, what are they? I believe some people are not saved. The Bible said in John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. So that tells me their father's the devil. They're lost. The reason some people don't love the Lord is because they're lost. God is not their father. He said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. In other words, Christ said, if you're going to love me, you've got to be saved. There's a lot of people who don't love the Lord because they've never trusted Christ as their Savior. That's why some folks don't keep His commands. I believe there's a second reason. And that is some love things way too much. They love things more than they love Christ. You say, where do you see that at in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. In John chapter 21, turn there. In John chapter 21, Christ has died, has risen from the grave, or from the tomb. And I want you to notice here, by the way, I want you to notice here how quickly these disciples in John 14 move to nearly a heathenistic lifestyle. In John 21, verse number 1, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Now here's what happened. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which was John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. In other words, he was out there in his undergarments, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Isn't that amazing? Lord has already got breakfast ready. He hollers out there and said, You fellas got anything to eat? No doubt they was thinking in their mind, This guy wants something to eat. They want some of our catch. When they get there, they see the Lord's already got breakfast prepared. It's already there. It's already ready. And he goes on to say, in verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, Bring the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. For all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, notice here, Jesus saith unto Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You know what the problem was? Peter loved himself more than he loved the Lord. He said, I'm going fishing. And not only did he go fishing himself, he also took some of the disciples with him. Was it wrong to fish? No. But the Lord had told them certain things to do at this time. He loved things more than he loved the Lord. That's why some folks do not keep his commandments. Some do not keep his commandments because they're lost. Some do not keep his commandments because they love things way too much. I think there's another reason that some don't keep his commandments. Some love others more than they love the Lord. By the way, pardon me if this bothers you, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. That's why many churches have gone the way they've gone. They love others more than they love the Lord. Years ago when I was pastoring in St. Louis, I had a man contact me, and he said, We're praying about starting a church in the inner city of St. Louis. He said, I'd like to speak to you and find out some things that you did there as you planted that church in your area. I agreed to meet with him. We met and had lunch, and I said, Well, tell me some of the things you're doing. He said, Well, we've been out in the community taking a survey on what kind of church people want. I said, Well, you've already messed up. You don't ask lost people what kind of church they want. The Bible gives us the description and the particulars about a church. The Bible makes it clear what a church is to be. You don't ask people what kind of church they want. The problem with that type of thinking is that becomes a people-centered ministry instead of a Christ-centered ministry. And when a ministry or a church becomes people-centered, they'll do anything to attract a crowd. They'll do anything to keep a crowd. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying we ought to be hateful and belligerent. Christ preached very hard sermons, but he was never hateful. I'm not saying we ought to be hateful and belligerent and rude and crude. I don't find the Lord ever being rude and crude. You know, it embarrasses me to death sometimes, and there's independent Baptists that's rude and crude. But there's people that love others more than they love the Lord. Again, we're not certain what the Lord was speaking about when he spoke to Peter, "Lovest thou me more than these?" I'm not sure if he was talking about those disciples. We're not certain whether it was the people or whether it was the job of fishing, the recreation of fishing, the income from fishing. We don't know exactly what the Lord was speaking about, but I do know there are people that love people more than they love the Lord. And it's interesting here as you read this passage here, nowhere did the Lord ask Peter, "Do you love the sheep?" He said, "Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed the sheep. Do you love me? Feed the sheep." Nowhere did he ask Peter, "Do you love the sheep?" I want to tell you tonight, if we love the Lord, that'll take care of itself. That'll take care of itself. But we've got things all turned around today, and we're so interested in pleasing people and appeasing people that we'll do anything at all to keep them happy. I want to tell you what's most important is honoring the Lord, not making people happy. If we love the Lord, we'll love the sheep. If we love the Lord, we'll keep His commandments. And as we read a moment ago in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, His commandments are not grievous. Over the next few weeks, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at some of the commands of Christ. Understand this. It's all contingent on the degree of our love of Him. Do you realize how many preachers have become motivators and cheerleaders? Trying to motivate people to do the right thing and try to cheer them on to do the right thing. You know, that's not a preacher's job. If you love the Lord, I won't have to motivate you to do right. If you love the Lord like you should, I won't have to be a cheerleader. You understand what I'm saying, don't you? We will keep His commands if we love Him like we should. We'll keep His word. And we understand as we love Him, His commands are not grievous. I hear people say occasionally, "You know, it's just way too much to ask. Just way too much to ask for us to say it's too much to ask." We need to re-examine some things. Are you keeping His commands? You say, "Well, I don't think it's that important." Well, some of these things that we looked at that prevent people from keeping the commands of Christ, we need to examine to make certain they're not present in our life. Are we a Christian? Do we love things more than we love the Lord? Do we love people more than we love the Lord? May God help us tonight to be men and women, boys and girls, teenagers that keep His commandments.